Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and thank you for standing by for the Junko Solar Holding Company Limited's second quarter 2013 earnings conference call. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. After managers' prepared remarks, there will be a question-and-answer session. As a reminder, today's conference is being recorded. I would now like to turn the meeting over to your host for today's call, Mr. Sebastien Liu, Junko Solar's Investor Relations Director. Please proceed, Sebastien.
Thank you, operator. Thank you, everyone, for joining us today for Junko Solar's second quarter 2013 earnings conference call. The company's results were released earlier today and available on the company's IR website and www.junkosolar.com, as well as on PR Newswire services. We have also provided supplemental presentation for today's earnings call, which can also be found on the IR website. On the call today from Junko Solar are Mr. Chen Kangping, Chief Executive Officer, Mr. Arturo Herrero, Chief Marketing Officer, and Mr. Zhang Longgen, Chief Financial Officer. Mr. Chen will discuss Junko Solar's business operations and company's highlights, followed by Mr. Herrero, who will talk about the company's business strategies, and Mr. Zhang, who will go through the financial and guidance. They will all be available to answer your questions during the Q&A. Please be noted that today's discussion will contain forward-looking statements made under the safe harbor provisions of the U.S. Private Securities Litigation Reform Act of 1995. Forward-looking statements involve inherent risks and uncertainties. As such, our future results may be materially different from the views expressed today. Further information regarding this and other risks are included in Junko's public filings with the Securities and Exchange Commission. Junko Solar does not assume any obligation to update any forward-looking statement except as required under the applicable law. Please be noted that to supplement these consolidated financial results presented in accordance with the United States Generally Accepted Accounting Principles, or GAAP, Junko uses certain non-GAAP financial measures. The company believes that the use of non-GAAP information is useful for analysts and investors to evaluate Junko's current and future performances based on a more meaningful comparison of net income and diluted net income per ADS when compared with its peers and historical results from prior periods. These measures are not intended to represent or substitute numbers as measured under GAAP. The submission of non-GAAP numbers is voluntary and should be reviewed together with GAAP results. It's now my pleasure to introduce Mr. Chen Kangping, CEO of Junko Solar. Mr. Chen will speak in Mandarin, and I will translate his comment into English. Please go ahead, Mr. Chen.
谢谢Sebastian。各位早上好，晚上好，感谢大家参加今天的电话会议。
Thank you, Sebastian. Good morning and good evening to everyone, and thank you for joining us today.
首先，我很高兴向大家宣布，公司自2011年第三季度以来，首季度实现盈利，在第二季度中，公司在全球光伏市场的领先地位得到进一步的巩固。这主要归功于管理层成功的战略执行以及新兴市场不断增长的需求，尤其是公司战略布局的新兴市场。
I'm pleased to report our first quarter of profitability since the third quarter of 2011. During the second quarter of 2013, increasing demand from regions where we have made strategic investments and our ability to efficiently execute our strategy further solidified our leading position in global PV market. We increased shipment volumes and expanded our gross margin to 17.7%, making Jinko Solar among the first Chinese module producer to return net profitability since downturn. Total shipments were 489.2 megawatts during the second quarter of 2013, including 416 megawatts of solar modules, which represents an increase of 44.5% from the first quarter of 2013 and an increase of 61.9% from the second quarter of 2012. Total revenue during the quarter were $287.6 million, representing an increase of 51.7% from the first quarter of 2013 and an increase of 42.6% from the second quarter of 2012. We have successfully navigated the rapidly changing solar power environment to emerge a stronger, profitable, more nimble company. We now expect to return net profitability for the entire year, as we are confident that this quarter's strong operational and financial performance is indicative of our future performances.
在过去的几个季度里，公司经历了很多重要的市场转变。最近，我们看到了更多积极的变化，并已做好了充分的准备。平均销售单价持续保持稳定，产业供求关系开始修复，国际和国内的行业形势也逐步逆转。国内，七月初中国国务院出台的太阳能行业指导意见，奠定了光伏产业在中国的战略地位，并确定了是2015年太阳能总装机量35吉瓦的宏伟目标。国际上，欧盟已和中国就太阳能出口产品的关税达成了初步协议，大大降低了欧洲市场的不确定性。
Over the past few quarters, Jinko Solar has rapidly adapted to a number of fundamental shifts in the market. We now believe that we are prepared to take full advantage of the more favorable industry conditions. While ASP continue to stabilize, the solar industry has begun to consolidate with demand gradually aligning with supply. These fundamental industry shifts are further supported by serious positive developments domestically and internationally. Domestically, the formulation of the China State Councils in early July emphasized the strategic importance of the PV industry and set a clear target of 35 gigawatts by 2015. Internationally, the settlement agreement between the EU and China on export of solar products will greatly improve our visibility in the European market.
凭借公司领先的科技以及高质量和高可靠性的产品，我们将随着市场形势的积极变化，迎来进一步发展的机遇。第二季度，公司成为光伏领域首家获得 TOE 能颁发的动态机械载荷证书的企业，同时获得 TOE 能颁发的防沙尘证书以及意大利 IEG 机构颁发的防火证认证。公司能根据客户的不同需求生产多样化的产品，为客户提供更多的灵活性，并适应不同的地理环境。凭借公司丰富的产品组合以及日益增加的客户需求，我们将充分利用公司领先的品牌、强大的客户关系以及领先的技术，抓住市场复苏中不断涌现的机会。
We believe we are ready to demonstrate our further improve upon the state of the art technology, reliability, and quality of the solar product that have driven our growth. In just the past quarter, Jinko Solar received a dynamic mechanical load test certification, which is the first in the industry, and dozen standard verification from QDOT, as well as a fire resistant certification from ITAD, Instituto Giordano. This demonstrates just how effective we have become at delivering the best performers in diverse real world conditions. We are now able to specially customize our modules based on the specifications of customer demand. With such strong product on offer and growing demand, we are poised to leverage our brand, strong relationship, and technological leadership as the market recovers.
公司积极拓展全球业务，逐步降低了对欧洲市场的依赖，并在新兴市场取得了更多的成绩，例如中国、日本、美国、南非和印度等市场。2012年，欧洲市场占比公司总出货量近 50%，而目前这一比例已下降到25%左右。在国内市场，作为最早发现中国市场巨大潜力的公司之一，我们充分利用本土市场快速发展过程中的先发优势，建立了品牌优势，并巩固了市场领先地位。在日本市场，公司一直积极加强市场开拓，并取得了良好成果。 我们已与多家客户建立了重要的合作关系。资本市场的出货量将在公司出货量组合当中占据更多的份额。在美国市场，公司一如既往地为客户提供优质的产品和服务，并于近期宣布为美国中西部地区的大型太阳能电站项目提供39兆瓦的组件。在南非和印度市场，随着公司品牌影响力的不断增强，我们同样保持了强劲的增长势头。同时，公司在中东和拉美地区等新兴市场的拓展也从未停止脚步。
As a direct result of our decision to increase our exposure globally, we have reduced our reliance on Europe and expanded our presence in emerging markets, such as China, Japan, the United States, South Africa, and India. Last year, Europe accounted for almost 50% of our shipments, but now only makes up approximately 25%. Having leveraged our first mover advantage in China early on, we have secured a leading position and have now become one of the most well-known PV module brands domestically. This will aid us significantly ahead of our home market's rapid growth. We continue to expand our presence in Japan, which has shown promise as we push deeper into the market, making it a more significant part of our shipment portfolio. We have developed multiple meaningful relationships with customers there and look forward to future opportunities.We remain dedicated to serving our customers in the U.S., which has already become a strategically important market for us, having just announced a contract to supply 39 megawatts to utility scale project in the Midwest U.S. Orders from South Africa and India also continue to grow as we work to build our brand there. Meanwhile, we have continued our effort to penetrate new emerging markets in the Middle East and Latin America.
公司技术则是从传统的太阳能产品制造商到一站式能源解决方案提供商的战略转型。我们预计2013年将完成200到300兆瓦的光伏电站项目。目前公司的项目储备已接近700兆瓦。公司下游业务的项目开发、项目融资、EPC 以及系统运维团队都已做好准备，迎接新的机遇和挑战。国务院出台的太阳能行业指导意见明确制定了至2015年35吉瓦的目标，以及补贴年限为20年，并按月结算。作为美国上市的中国太阳能企业，项目开发规模和储备最大的公司，这些政策为公司的下游业务带来了重大利好，将确保公司下游业务的可观收益，并促进公司的。
Please go ahead.
Okay. Having turned the corner both financially and operationally.We are optimistic about the future. We are proud of what we have accomplished this quarter on the foundation of our management version and strategic execution. We believe that it speaks to our perseverance and determination during difficult times. We have successfully navigated the industry downturn by prudently managing our business and diligently improving our industry-leading technology, cost structure, and brand value. With our strong client relationships and respected reputation,We believe that we are now in a solid position to drive future growth and shareholder value.
通过技术改进和生产线升级，公司垂直一体化产能从1.2吉瓦提升到1.5个吉瓦。下面我向大家介绍公司业绩指导。
As a result of technological improvement and upgrading of production lines, our production capacity has now increased from 1.2 gigawatts to 1.5 gigawatts.With that, I would like to quickly move on our guidance.
2013年第三季度，我们预计太阳能组件出货量为460到500兆瓦。
For the third quarter of 2013, we expect total module shipments to be in the range of 460 to 500 megawatts.
2013年全年太阳能组件总出货量指导从之前的1.2吉瓦到1.5个吉瓦，上调至1.5吉瓦到1.7个吉瓦。项目总开发规模仍保持为200兆瓦到300兆瓦。
Full year 2013 total solar module shipment has been revised upwards and will now be in the range of 1.5 to 1.7 gigawatts, compared to the previous guidance of 1.2 to 1.5 gigawatts, with total project development scale expected to remain in the range of 200 to 300 megawatts.
阿特洛将进一步向大家介绍公司第二季度在销售和市场方面的主要成绩，以及2013年第三季度公司在主要国家与地区的战略与市场前景。
Akira Hirayo, our Chief Marketing Officer, will now discuss our major achievements in sales and marketing for the second quarter in further detail, as well as our strategy and market outlook for the third quarter in key countries and regions.
谢谢。
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chen. Good morning and good evening to all of you. In line with our Q1 earnings call, we have seen a substantial improvement during Q2 and the first half of 2013 as a global PV market and increasing demand from a strategic emerging market has gotten stronger for JinkoSolar. We are confident we have left behind one of the worst periods in the PV solar industry, characterized by continuous reduction in subsidies, slowing demand and price competition. Following our geographic distribution strategy, we have benefited from increasing demand coming from emerging markets such as China, Japan, India, and South Africa. JinkoSolar has successfully established a strong presence in each of these markets, reaching leadership positions in some of them, such as in China or in South Africa, where we are assuring 30% market share from the first and the second rounds of the public tender. We have seen improvements in ASP also, as it continues to stabilize after more than 2 years of continuous erosion. This has helped increasing our gross margin to one of the highest amongst our peers, and JinkoSolar is now among the first Chinese module producers to return to net profitability. Regarding the anti-dumping preliminary import taxes, we have closely followed the agreement reached between the European Commission and the Chinese government, and we have seen, as expected, a positive initial settlement. European markets during the second quarter were hesitant and they awaited the ruling, but we are now confident that our visibility in the European market will greatly improve as a result. The minimum price agreed as 0.56 euro per watt might be too high to make it financially feasible for large-scale ground mounting systems in most of European countries. However, it could possibly open the door to a healthy and sustained PV demand from the European residential and commercial roof market, where JinkoSolar is quite present. Only first-tier PV suppliers like Jinko, who have solid brand recognition, strong bankability feedback, and the highest technology and quality from our modules, can secure demand from loyal customers willing to pay such a high price per watt. The situation will become increasingly more challenging for second- and third-tier Chinese companies, as aggressive pricing no longer distinguishes or differentiates them. Our shipments during the second quarter this year were approximately 490 megawatts, consisting on 460 megawatts of modules. It represents a big increase from the first quarter, over 45%, and 62% versus the year before. This once again is a new record in the history of JinkoSolar. During the first half of 2013, we exceeded our expectations by selling approximately 750 megawatts of module sales and have thus reduced our guidance upwards for the year 2013. In the first half, gross margin improved thanks to better demand, stabilizing ASPs, and the fact that we are entering into emerging solar markets such as Japan and South Africa, where we are selling at a higher prices. Thanks to the guidance recently issued by Chinese State Council, emphasizing the strategic importance of the PV industry and set a clear target of 35 gigawatts by 2015, we are very optimistic about the potential continuous demand from Chinese market, where we have built a leading position. Europe was our second largest export region, accounting for over 25% of our shipments, thanks to demand from loyal European customers doing also business overseas. Asia-Pacific countries such as Japan, India, and Thailand accounted for almost 20% of our total shipments for the first half 2013. Q2 was JinkoSolar's most geographically diversified as we entered into new emerging solar markets. In the first half, Jinko was active in 30 countries compared to only 20 countries in last quarter last year. Sales in Canada and Australia improved versus previous quarters, and we made our first important sales in countries in South America like Chile, Colombia, and Mexico, but also in United Arab Emirates, Egypt, or Dubai in Africa and Middle East. Recently, we announced a contract signed with EMEC for an important large-scale utility system totaling 39 megawatts that is expected to be completed before end of this year, 2013, in the USA. Thanks to our geographical fast diversification, our global brand recognition, bankability combined with our strong local presence in new emerging countries, we managed to have longer visibility and contracts through all year 2013 and into next year 2014. In keeping with our lean structure, we continue to implement our expansion and diversification strategy while strengthening our global sales and marketing teams and at the same time closely controlling costs. We are reinforcing our presence in markets such as Asia-Pacific regions, South Africa, and South America, with the addition of few highly qualified professionals, new sales members. With the same mindset for marketing and branding, while controlling our budget and spending much less than our peers, we continue implementing our marketing strategy to achieve our global broadening Ginkgo Solar's brand recognition around the world. During the first half, we participated in many important PV exhibitions and conferences. This includes InterSolar in Munich, PV America, and InterSolar in the USA, Chilean Renewable Energies Congress held in Madrid, the World Future Energy Summit in Abu Dhabi, Solar Expo in Morocco, EcoBuilding in London, PV Japan in Tokyo, PV Exhibition in Australia, Brisbane, and finally PV Exhibition in Sao Paulo, Brazil. We also presented at the Energy Africa Forum in Barcelona and at the PV Exhibition in Tokyo, Japan. Consistent with our focus on corporate social responsibilities, we keep making PV module donations to charities. Valencia's soccer team, as part of our marketing branding, together with some of our best American partners, enjoyed Valencia's 4-0 victory, 4-0 in the New York Giants Stadium over Inter of Milan, as we also was enjoying the victory of 1-0 in Miami Dolphins Sunlight Stadium over the English team Everton. In Q3, we are planning to be attending the major PV exhibitions and improve and increase our brand recognition worldwide. Regarding technology and new launches, we presented our Eagle Series, PID-free series at 85 degrees Celsius and 85% humidity at the InterSolar exhibition in Munich. It is a PV module designed for high temperatures and high humidity, especially important for emerging PV markets like South Africa, South American, or African countries. We received dynamic mechanical loads test certification, which is first in the PV industry, and dust and sand verification from the TÜV Nord. As well as we reach the test and the certification for fire resistant, which is extremely important for European countries, but especially for Australian residential markets. With that, I will pass the call to our CFO, Longan. Sam, please.
Thank you, Arturo. Good morning and good evening to everyone on the call. First, I would like to walk you through our financial results in the second quarter of 2013, followed by the third quarter and the full-year 2013 guidance. As Mr. Chen mentioned earlier, total solar product shipments in the second quarter of 2013 were 489.2 megawatts. Total revenues in the second quarter of 2013 were $287.6 million US, an increase of 51.7% sequentially and an increase of 42.6% year-over-year. The sequential increase in revenues was mainly due to the significant increase in the shipment of solar modules, while the year-over-year increase was primarily due to the increase in shipments, which was offset by the decline in ASP. Gross margin was 17.7% in the second quarter of 2013, compared with 12.7% in the first quarter of 2013, and 8.4% in the second quarter of 2012. The sequential increase in gross margins was primarily attributable to improvements in operating efficiency, an increase in ASPs, and continued cost reductions for our polysilicon and auxiliary.
The year-over-year increase was mainly due to continued cost reductions for our polysilicon and auxiliary materials and improvements in our operating efficiency, which were partially offset by a decrease in ASPs. In-house gross margin relating to in-house silicon wafer, solar cell, and solar module production was 18.3% in the second quarter of 2013, compared with 13.1% in the first quarter of 2013 and 11.2% in the second quarter of 2012. Income from operations in the second quarter of 2013 was $25.4 million, compared with a loss from operations of $2.7 million in the first quarter of 2013, and loss from operations of $13 million in the second quarter of last year. Total operating expenses in the second quarter of 2013 were $25.4 million, a decrease of 5.1% sequentially, and a decrease of 16.3% year-over-year. The sequential increase was primarily due to an increase in shipping and warranty costs resulting from the increase in solar module shipments, which was partially offset by the reversal of provisions for bad debts as a result of the collection of cash for long-aged accounts receivable. The company's operating expenses, excluding non-cash charges, represented 11.9% of its total revenues in the second quarter of 2013, representing a decrease from 14.9% sequentially and a decrease from 14.3% year-over-year. Operating margin in the second quarter of 2013 was positive 8.8% compared with negative 1.4% in the first quarter of 2013 and a negative 6.7% in the second quarter of last year. Net interest expense in the second quarter of 2013 was $9.5 million, an increase of 5.8% sequentially and an increase of 6.6% year-over-year. The increase was primarily due to the successful issuance of RMB 800 million in corporate bonds and RMB 360 million loan agreements with CDB. We recorded an exchange loss of $0.9 million in the second quarter of this year, primarily due to a foreign currency exchange loss of $3.1 million and a gain in fair value of forward contracts of $2.2 million. We recognized a loss of $4.1 million in change in fair value of convertible senior notes and CAPA call options. The company recognized an income tax benefit in the second quarter of 2013 of approximately $35,000, compared with a tax expense of approximately $2,000 in the first quarter of 2000, and an income tax benefit of $1.6 million during the second quarter of last year. Net income in the second quarter of 2013 was $8 million, compared with a net loss of $20.7 million in the first quarter of 2013, and a net loss of $48.9 million in the second quarter of last year. This translates into basic and diluted income per ADS of 36 cents. Non-GAAP net income in the second quarter of 2013 was $12.1 million, compared with a non-GAAP net loss of $12.1 million in the first quarter of 2013 and a non-GAAP net loss of $46.8 million in the second quarter of last year. This translates into a non-GAAP basic and diluted income per ADS of 56 cents. As of June 30, 2013, the company had $113.2 million in cash and cash equivalents and restricted cash. Operating cash inflow in the second quarter of 2013 was $74.8 million. Capital expenditures during the quarter were $6.9 million. As of June 30, 2013, total short-term borrowings including the current portion of long-term banking borrowings, were $386.2 million, compared with $397 million last quarter of 2013. Total long-term borrowings were $62.4 million US dollars as of June 30, 2013, compared with $55.4 million as of March 31, 2013. As of June 30, 2013, the company's working capital deficit was negative $337.4 million, compared with a deficit of $223.1 million as of March 31, 2013. Now, let me turn to our guidance. For the third quarter of 2013, we expect total solar module shipments to be approximately 460 megawatts to 500 megawatts. For the full year 2013, total solar module shipments has been revised upwards and is now expected to be between 1.5 gigawatts and 1.7 gigawatts. And total solar project development scale is expected to be between 200 megawatts and 300 megawatts. At this moment, we were happy to take your questions. Operator?
We will now begin the question and answer session. If you wish to ask a question, please press star followed by the number 1 on your telephone keypad and wait for your name to be announced. If you wish to cancel your request, please press the star key followed by the number 2. Your first question will come from the line of Philip Shen with Roth Capital.
Good evening. This is Matt on for Phil. Thank you for taking my questions. I just wanted to start out with the capacity expansion that you guys mentioned in your release and on the call here. Can you talk about sort of how you were able to expand capacity so quickly with what looks like, so, you know, very little CapEx? You guys mentioned there was about $7 million in CapEx on the quarter. Could you just provide some color on that?
Thanks, Matt. Basically, you know, what we're doing is, if you look over this quarter, the CapEx is $6.9 million, plus the last quarter is around $6 million. Then also, I think last year we spent, you know, also on the CapEx. But, you know, accumulative, you know, we step by step, we increase our capacity by, you know, small CapEx plus, you know, the technology improvements and also the machine efficiency. So basically right now we are almost, you know, 90%, you know, the running, even 100% running. So basically, theoretically, we say the capacity of 1.2 gigawatts in history is based on 90% the capacity, you know, measurements.
Okay, that's helpful. And just wanted to explore projects briefly, if I may. In the release, you guys talked about three projects recently completed of about 55 megawatts. Do you have buyers lined up for these projects, and when do you expect revenues could be recognized?
Basically, you know, today we already finished three projects. Total is 55 megawatts, and, you know, one is in Qinghai, 30 megawatts, one is in Gansu, 20 megawatts. Another is joint venture. We own equity, 5 megawatts, also in Gansu. If you look our, you know, this quarter, we also have around 5 million renminbi yuan revenue come from, you know, the feeding tariff. So basically, today we count those, you know, the finished projects, you know, the tariff as, you know, recognized revenue as cash we received. Basically, we have still have, you know, the cash, the feeding tariff, is not received. But the good sign is you can see the last, you know, June, I think the State Council, you know, issued new regulations. And today, actually yesterday, we received notice from the government, and the feed-in tariff is on the way to pay to us.
Okay. And then about the six projects that you also mentioned, can you maybe provide some timing on the color of when you believe these projects might be completed? Is it sometime next year? And then were all of these projects developed in-house at Jinko, or are they co-developed with another developer?
The projects, six projects under construction. Five projects is 100% owned by Jinko. And one project, you know, is 200 megawatts. We own 20%, so we share 56, you know, megawatts.
So total, you know, add together, we right now own is 146 megawatts projects under construction. Most of the projects will be finished, you know, during, I think, this year, actually, you know, starting, I think, August to the end of this year. So basically, we believe, I think, you know, these projects will be completed, I think, by the end of this year.
Okay, great. That's helpful. And then one more, if I may. You guys and a fair amount of your peers have filed shelves to potentially raise capital over the past couple months. Can you discuss how you might use additional cash if you were to raise money? And if you can't discuss your raise directly, if you were, can you maybe just talk about, in your view, what might be a healthy use of capital for the solar industry in general?
I think, you know, speaking from the regulatory, I think it's the easy way for us, I think everybody, I think a public company to filing the, I think, F3, the shareholder registration. That not mean, you know, all, every company is going to raise money. And the raise money, everybody know, is based on the company, I think, performance and also the market situation, the window. And we just are filing and we just, you know, watching the market. And at this moment, you know, we didn't have a detailed plan.
Okay, that's it for me. Thank you.
Your next question will come from the line of Vishal Shah with Deutsche Bank. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for taking my question. Sam, can you talk about your margin projections for the rest of the year? And are you you expecting shipments to be flattish? And you never, I mean, you used to provide some cost numbers in the past. Can you talk about, you know, your silicon and non-silicon costs?
Sure. I think it's a good question. But, you know, we never give guidance in the future, the gross margin. But I'm willing to talk about, you know, the Q2. Basically, Q2, our vertically integrated gross margin is 18.3%. And our cost is around 50 cents, and of which the silicon cost is 9 cents, and the non-silicon cost is 40 cents. So basically, I think, you know, you can easily calculate our SP, you know. So off, you know, the if you want detail now, the non-silicon cost, I think the wafer is 10 cents, and the cell is 12 cents, and the module is 20 cents. So add together is 41 cents. Running, okay.
Okay, that's helpful, thank you. And how do you think your margins are going to trend? Are you expecting further improvement in margins in the third and the fourth quarter?
We believe, okay, this quarter, I think on the cost of, per module side, you know, today is I think 50 cents. We think we can continue to keep that advantage, you know, even though some materials price maybe, you know, maybe will slightly go up. For example, the silicon cost. In Q3, our, you know, silicon cost is 16, average cost is $16 per kilograms. We believe maybe we'll slide up, you know, $1, $2. But we throw other side, you see, the non-silicon cost side, we can continue to improve. So basically, we think the cost of a module will be between, by the end of this year, will be around 50 cents, even below 50 cents. The, another side, I think on the module side, we believe the module side the price is stable. And also, especially for Jinko or market, I think, you know, maybe Arthur will have more comments because our geographical, you know, sales distribution, you can see that the selling price to Africa, to other area is higher, Japan. And also you can see the settlements between China and the, Europe. I think the minimum price is 50 cent, euro cents. That also will help a lot on the selling price, SP.
Can you talk about distribution of your third quarter shipments and also why your fourth quarter shipments are flat compared to third quarter? You know, what percentage of your shipments are going to go to China and other markets in the third or the fourth quarter? Thank you.
This is Arturo, CMO. I will answer your question. We are trying to keep our strategy of being very diversified geographically. and the hesitation on the settlement between China and the European Commission has been giving us some headaches in the European countries. But the good news is that we have good customers doing business worldwide, and also the Asian countries has been very active, very strong. So mainly in China, as we reported, has been around 44% of our shipments. And then we have very strong markets share in countries like Japan, India, and then a part of Asia Pacific. In South Africa, we are expecting to deliver a total of 300 megawatts, as we were appointed for several contracts in the first and second round of the tender. So Europe has been in total this Q2 around 25%, but we expect that it will improve after the Q4, because obviously we already are at the mid of Q3, we already commit all our production to other deals and other countries. So European countries will not be very strong in Q3, but it will be definitely improving in Q4 and next year. But still, we rely a lot on China, we rely a lot on Japan, and USA will be improving a lot and improving the percentage for Jinko Solar too.
Okay, well, thank you very much. One last question. Can you talk about the feed-in tariff development in China, and what's your lead time right now? Are you sold out through Q3 or even through Q4? Thank you.
I'm going to answer the question first. I think in China, I think actually, you know, the regulation is very clear, stay there. You know, right now, basically, we have two kind of, you know, the policy. Most, you know, projects that we build right now so far is 100%, you know, the scale plant, you know, the solar plant. So basically, only, I think, one Deling Ha, I think we got is 1.10 megawatts is 1.1 renminbi yuan per kWh. 115, right? 115. Then rest of them is one renminbi yuan per kWh. So this is all we got already got approved state. Then also got the state, you know, the nets, I think, approved. The only thing is right now, because before, I think, June, the regulation, the new regulation of the state council, you see, the feed-in tariff is not paid on time. They only pay the electricity regular, you know, the collection fee. For example, one renminbi yuan, they pay the 35 cents renminbi yuan first. Then another 65 cents is always, you know, a delay. So we right now receive the notice, say they will pay. I think the new regulations come out. We're expecting, you know, soon, maybe next month, and they will pay. Right now, at least the government say they will pay monthly. So if that's the case, so you can see, the projects we finished, and also construction, the value, I think a potential value is there.
Yeah, that's helpful. And as far as capacity visibility goes, are you sold out through end of Q3 or Q4?
Basically, right now, the capacity in Q3, we give guidance is 460 to 500. We think in the fourth quarter, we will also, we're not give guidance, but as you can see, we also think, you know, it's very optimistic.
Thank you.
So basically, from now on to end of the year, our capacity will be almost, I think, you know, utilization should be above 90%.
That's helpful. Thank you.
Thank you.
Your next question comes from the line of Brandon Hyken with Credit Suisse.
Hey, team. Thanks for taking the question. I was wondering if you could clarify your demand expectations in China and Japan in the second half. I know you talked about some of the other regions, but what are you seeing for demand in those two regions?
Well, we are almost sold out until October, and mainly China is getting a big part for the third quarter. As you probably know, there is some rush. There is some deadlines of changing the feed-in tariff, but nobody knows when. So everybody is rushing to build as many projects as possible. So this is good because also it's increasing the ASPs. For Japan, it's the same thing. I mean, we have very good feed-in tariff, very good subsidies from the government. And according to Bloomberg, it will be reaching even 5 gigawatt this year and probably 9 gigawatt in the next coming 2 years. So Japan will be very important. And for Jinko Solar, with our local team, our office, and also our already loyal partners, we expect at least this year to reach around 100 to 150 megawatt in 2013.
Okay. And for the new system with the European Union, do you know, is there going to be a quota system to allocate module shipments between companies? Do you have any updates on how many shipments you'll be allowed to make to Europe going
Brandon,
forward?
Brandon, basically, you know, we also one of the company right now participated the, you know, the policy right now making. So, you know, I'm afraid, you know, we can't say anything on comments there.
Okay.
Yeah.
Can you talk about demand in the rest of Asia Pacific, for instance, in Southeast Asia and other countries?
Well, Asia Pacific definitely is getting very important for Jinko Solar. Already reported in our earnings that in the first half, only together Thailand, Japan, and India is over 100 megawatt per quarter. So it's we have sold already 150 megawatt in the first half, and we expect continuous increase in projects in Japan and Thailand, and we are working to open some leads in Malaysia and even in Bangladesh, where we did the first sales this quarter, Q2.
Okay. And just a last question. It looks like your working capital declined in the second quarter. Do you think it's at a sustainable level now, or how do you think that will adjust for the rest of the year? Thank you.
Brandon, I think it's a good question. You know, we see our working capital, the deficit is continued to increase. The reason is, too, because, you know, one is we continue to improve our efficiency on the, you know, on the current asset side. If you can see, our inventory is continue to go down to, you know, the 80 million from 110 million. And also accounts receivable is almost stable. And as even though our revenues continue to go up, almost more than, you know, 50%, 60, you know, just sequentially, 60%. So we see that, you know, then also you can see that we invest, you know, almost $130 million in projects. And, you know, those projects finished and under construction. So that's why the scenario right now, we are to maximize, you know, to use our working capital, especially, you know, in liability side. You know that because situation, if we can to extend the accounts payable days as long as possible. At this moment, I can say we used to, you know, more efficiently used to maximum. But in the next quarter, we will get more improved.
Okay, so you said the working capital will continue to improve, you said?
Yeah, we will improve that. Yeah, we'll improve that.
Okay, thank you.
Your next question comes from the line of Paul Strigler with Esplanade.
Hey, guys. Couple quick ones. Can you just talk about the related party revenue? It looks like it went up quite a bit. Is that some of that feed-in tariff, it looks like, but is other of that, can you talk about that for a second?
Yes, Lynn, okay. Paul?
Yeah.
Hey, Paul.
Yeah.
As you can see on the news, we have the related, you know, the parties revenue there. You can see that?
Yeah.
The reason is because why we have the related party revenue is we invest one of the projects. Total is 200 megawatts. We yep. only account for, we only equity 20%. That's, yep. that's mean 28%. That's mean we own 56%.
Yeah.
So that's we only can recognize the revenue on the module side is 144, I think, megawatts. So that mm-hmm. revenue we recognize. We have to put, you know, classify as a related party because that project we also own that, 28%.
Mm-hmm. Makes sense.
Okay.
And then it looks like if we take your full-year guidance and subtract out sort of your Q3 guidance and your first-half module shipments, it looks like Q4 is down from Q3. Is that just conservatism on your part?
It's a good question. I think basically, at this moment, we have to more conservatively, I think, to giving out the guidance. But we believe, we very conservatively, I think, positively, I think optimism on the Q4, I think the sales also, up to today, okay, we think is very good, especially I think the contracts, the delivery schedule right now we have.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, let me complete the answer from Sam. This is Arturo again, the CMO. The first half already we complete 747 megawatt of shipments. So assuming a guidance that we already announced to up to 500 megawatt, it puts that with Q3 in 1.2 gigawatt. Sorry,
yep.
1.2 gigawatts, right, with Q3. So Q4 will be, and this is why we raised the guidance, will be in the guidance that we already announced, 1.5 to 1.7 gigawatt. So there is a big range in Q4 to depending on the situation in China in terms of demand and the other markets. But we are very confident we can be over the expectations from the first beginning of the year.
Great. Yeah, I think that's very realistic. And finally, just how many megawatts or how much revenue from projects did you guys recognize in Q2?
Okay, Paul, let me just add one comment, last question, maybe help you. Our CEO, Mr. Chen, said we will keep this year profitable. So if you look at the figure, Q1, how much we lost the money, and then you can manage how much the revenue in the, net income we have to make from, Q3 and Q4, okay? Secondly, to answer your question, I think about how many money we recognize from the projects. So far, from project side, we recognize revenue only is $5 million, I think, the feed-in tariff we collected.
Mm-hmm.
That's it in the Q2. Let me be there, okay?
Yep. No problem. Well, guys, congratulations. Welcome back to profitability, and keep up the good work.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Your next question comes from the line of James Bash with Dialectic Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, guys.
Hi James.
Hi, how are you? Thank you for taking my call. I have a couple questions. I guess the first is, if I look at cash, it declined a little bit quarter over quarter, and you have, I think, close to $400 million of short-term debt that's due. So I have some concerns, even though I think China Development Bank has been a good partner to you guys, whether or not the company is solvent is going to be dependent upon whether or not they roll over your debt. And I especially have that concern in light of the negative working capital changes. I realize that if you do a follow-on offering, that might mitigate some of these issues, but then that's going to be dilutive to shareholders. So that's, if you could address that concern, and then I have a quick follow-up after that.
James, I think it's a good question. You're concerned about the working capital, the cash issue. Just like I mentioned that, so far we already invest almost more than $130 million in the project side. And those projects under construction and finished is going to starting to collect the feed-in tariff. I think the value, potential value is there. Up to today, we didn't recognize any revenue, on the project side except that $5 million feed-in tariff we collected. As you know that, for those investments right now, we only got the CDB finance, $360 million RMB yuan. So we have right now so far another $500 million RMB yuan is on the way. I think in the proof procedures from CDB is going to advance to us. So that's one side. Second is you can see that today, especially June, I think the new regulation come from the State Council. We any time right now, a lot of people is right now working with us, anytime we can sell our projects, completed. The only thing is that we have to maximize the profit or compare whether we're going to keep or going to sell. If we're going to keep, you know, we become transition, you know, translate our as the equipment manufacturer to a utility, you know, the downstream, the I think, you know, the global, conglobal, you know, the utility company. So we can maybe even in the future split, you know, the solar power plants to, you know, in the Asia, even Hong Kong market. So that's the strategic thinking about that. So I'm not worried about, you know, so far the, you know, the cash flow, the liquidation on the cash side.
Okay.
Besides that, we still have the banking facilities available right now today. We still have around, I think, the banking facilities.
Right, and so that's okay.
We
that's
still have banking
here.
Facilities available. It's, it's almost, let me give you the figure. It's almost $400 million. Of course, to use the banking facilities, we have to use, you know, collateral. And so far, I think we believe, you know, we are very confident.
Okay. So, yeah, I mean, I appreciate you saying this because with the balance sheet that looks that levered, you know, I was worried. And I guess I still am in some ways that this would look like an LDK or SunTech Power at some point down the road. But if, I guess if we get into that scenario, doing a follow-on offering is an option. And then the second question I have for you guys is, you know, regarding Europe, you guys have a low-cost structure, and I imagine that benefits you in Europe where you're able to sell at lower prices than some of your peer group. I think you mentioned earlier on the call when you have a 65-cent floor that ability to offer more aggressive pricing than your peer group, at least on the residential side in Europe, is going to be very difficult. So of that 25% of revenues that's in Europe, how much is on that residential side that, unless I misunderstood you, is going to be very difficult for you guys to continue to grow, given that you're going to have to offer at least that minimum pricing versus your peer group.
Okay, this is Arturo Herrero, the CMO again. I will answer your question on the results, what we have seen from the feedback from customers. So what we are receiving after all these months of speculation about the agreement between European Commission and the Chinese government is that our customers that are loyal to JinkoSolar and they rely on the bankability and they are happy with the service we provide, and the most important thing, the high efficiencies and technology, they will continue with JinkoSolar. And even the price is, as you mentioned, is probably high, 56 euro cents per watt. It opens the door to all the distribution channels in terms of residential markets. That, in fact, is what we have been building during the last 3 years. So the distribution market in Germany or in Italy is a fact. It's nothing new for us. The largest scale projects were mainly in the south of Italy, and the largest scale projects were mainly in Spain, but it was history. It was a long time ago. And probably there is still some chances in France and in UK, but mainly our focus will be with our main partners to keep our distribution strong. And then the price makes sense. The 56 euro cents for distribution makes sense if we offer a good service, a good technology in terms of high efficiency modules. And this is why we have been working very hard in improving, and we are one of the leaders in terms of high efficiency modules in the market.
Okay. All right. And then just lastly, again, I just want to make sure that there's clarity on that cash balance. I think of around $110 million as of the end of the quarter, which declined despite operating cash flow improvements. I imagine that, I don't know, I didn't see it quite yet, but maybe free cash flow negative for the quarter or in the future. You guys, if you were to take off some of the shelf, and I imagine you don't file it unless at some point you're willing to take down that shelf, what are your thoughts on equity versus debt? And that's my final question. Thank you.
Okay, to answer your question, though, you concern, you see, the cash balance. But to me, okay, I'm the CFO. Basically, I'm considering right now, you also mentioned that, you see, in your last question about LDK Suntec. To me, today I measure the solar company, which one is better, and the debt-to-equity ratio is not the figure to tell me. To me, I think to measure the solar company is, you know, the debt per capacity watt, you see. The per capacity per watt, how much is the debt the company bear? So I'm not mentioning any company, Chinese company. If you look at, you know, any other our peers, how much, you know, the debt total they have. Today, Jinko, we have 1.5 gigawatts on the capacity, vertically integrated. My total net debt only around 500 million U.S. dollars. And basically, I don't think any, you know, on the cash basis, you know, on the cash balance, we are good manage, you know, the to, you know, on the cash balance. We don't want to borrow the banking loan sitting on the banking, you know, the pay the interest, you know, difference there. So I'm not worried about that. Second is, you know, to answer your question directly about the equity and debt, it's based on the market and also the, you know, the capital window. I cannot answer your question right now.
Okay. All right.
Thank you, James.
Your next question comes from the line of Dan Reyes with Maxim Group.
Hi, Dan.
Hi, thanks. Hey, how are you, Sam? Thanks for taking the question. If I look at Europe, unless I misunderstood you, I think you said 35% of shipments to Europe in 2Q. That would be something like 170 megawatts. Are you at all concerned that going forward you may be limited to something closer to 100 megawatts per quarter, particularly in the fourth quarter of this year? Because when the quota comes in, do you think you'd be limited to something like that, or do you think you'll be above 100 megawatts per quarter going to
Okay, let me clarify. This is Arturo again. What I mentioned around 25% for the first half of the year, not for the quarter. So it was the European market was 25% for the first half for Jinko Solar. Okay, so it's not so many megawatts as you mentioned. The other comment is that we are working very tight and very closely with customers that are from Europe, but they are doing business in South Africa, in Japan, in USA, some of them even, and in mainly now we are starting to see some projects in South America, in Latin America. So we expect that they will help because they have the expertise, they have also financing from Europe, and they will open new emerging market with their projects. Still, we believe that the second half, especially Q3, will not be so important for us in Europe because mainly once the decision was established between the European Commission and China, already was too late for us to allocate some of the megawatts of production to European customers or European projects in Europe. So mainly we will rely on Asia-Pacific, we will rely on the USA, and we will rely on these customers doing business in South Africa with contracts already contracted a long time ago.
Well, when did the 56 euro cent start for you? Has it already started, or does it start shortly?
It started from the 6th of August.
Okay.
And also, give you some comments. I see email. Basically, you cannot just simply, you know, to calculation, you know, the allocation. Basically, right now, you can see that, you know, the 7 gigawatts on the module side, we already used, you know, I think 5.2 gigawatts and left 1.8 gigawatts, you know, from the August 4th to the end of the year to allocation between the Chinese, you know, the manufacturer. Then you also have to consider, you know, we also have 2.6 gigawatts on the sales side. Then also, I think we have like a 0.8 gigawatts on the wafer side. That figure, you know, no people is to understand, you see. Those figures right now so far, for example, like sales, still have 1.8 gigawatts didn't use for the you know, second half of the year can be used. So basically, you know, potentially, I think, you know, we cannot tell you the exact figure, Jinko, how much we can be allocated. But, you know, we're still very, you know, optimistic, you know, rather than compete the price, but the quarter and limitation is better than, I think the low price, the minimum price, is better than the history. I think you know to lower the price, make money.
Okay. Maybe I could switch gears a little bit to China. I think you've mentioned, somebody mentioned kind of a rush going on now and that's helped pricing. Can you give a little bit better color on that in terms of the price, how much the price has risen maybe in U.S. cents since, say, the start of the second quarter to today? And in terms of your shipments to third parties in China, is that where the extra business is coming from now? Can you describe it? I think you're sold out, but are people really looking for a lot of modules in the November and December time frame when you're not sold out?
Yeah, the thing is that ASP has increased globally, and it includes also China. So we have seen that above 60 US dollar cents per watt has been the price, mainly because of the exchange rate. Also, renminbi has been helping. For the second half of the year, what we expect is Q3 very strong in China, and Q4 probably will be a little bit slowly, but still very, very, very important for Jinko Solar. So we don't see until the end of the year any issue in terms of allocation of production. On the contrary, I wish we could have more megawatts in our production.
And if China's the lowest, I assume China's the lowest price in the world at the moment, why are you allocating to third parties there? I understand your projects, but why allocate to third parties there when there's higher prices available in other geographies?
Well, the first thing is not the lowest price. China is not anymore the lowest. It was in the past, probably, but and before, obviously before this agreement in the European minimum price. But there are countries that are still there, it's still lower, like India, for example. But okay. In any case, the allocation to China is because we have a loyalty to our customers. We wanted to create also a good brand recognition. And in the last 2 years, we have been leader in Chinese market, jointly with Yingli, probably. And we want to keep this leadership.
Then also, Dan, I'll give you one more comment, okay? For the sales contracts we sell in China, we have retainage close there. That's around 5%, 10%. We even didn't account any revenue until we received the cash. So that's why, you know, we affect our ASP in China, around 1 cent and 1.5 cents, US dollar cents. Up to, by the end of the June 30th, we have around 160 million RMB yuan is off the balance. Anytime we're going to collect the money, recognize the revenue.
So you use cash accounting with your customers in China? Is that what you're saying?
No, I say that retainage for the quality, you know, guarantee, 5 to 10% is deducted from my contract right now. That is based on cash basis. It's not in the balance sheet right now, even income statements.
Okay. Well, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
I would like to turn the conference back over to Mr. Sebastian Liu for any closing comments. Please go ahead.
Okay. So on behalf of the entire Jinko Solar's management team, I want to thank you and for your participation and interest on this call. If you have any further questions or concerns, feel free to contact us. And have a good day. Thank you, everyone. Goodbye.
That does conclude our conference for today. Thank you for participating. You may all disconnect.